Welcome to the sermon series of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Jeff Conlin.
We followers of Jesus are an interesting group of people. We're all different. Some of us focus on the intellectual part of our faith that's all up here in our heads. We know and we understand, but we don't allow it to go much further than our heads. Some of us have an image of Jesus walking in a white flowing robe as it just came out of the dry cleaner with the hair blowing in the breeze, and Jesus is just this sweet, kind of calm, comfortable image. And so when we want or when we need, we will lean into that image or that truth. Some of us are people, followers of Jesus, who ask a lot of questions. We want to know all the answers. And before we can fully devote everything to serving, we just want to know more. Others of us are doubters, always asking questions in a way that we're expecting the negative. And then also there are those of us who are feelers, who if we feel Jesus, if we feel the presence of God, then God is real in those moments. We followers of Jesus are all very different people, connected different ways, but God speaks to each and every one of us. This morning, we are concluding our series on soul keeping. You know by now that God is speaking to each one of us and reminding us that we have been given a gift, our soul. God breathed into each one of us this life essence that holds together our bodies, our minds, and our wills together. And we all know by this time that who is in charge of taking care of that soul? It's not your spouse, it's not your friend, it's not even your church, it's not your pastor, it's yourself. Each one of us charged to be soul keepers, to take care of that gift that God has given us. And so in the last part of this series, we've been focusing on the ways that we need to practice grace. And as we practice grace, we celebrate that grace from God that flows down and into us so that we're able to share grace with others. We're invited also to practice gratitude, to think about, reflect upon, meditate on the ways in which we are thankful to God. And as we are thankful to God, to be able to display that to a world, that they might see this gift also of a God who loves us so dearly and has done so much for us. That we live that out by practicing gratitude. Today we focus on practicing growth. And growth can come in a lot of different ways. Growth can come in those moments when we go away on a spiritual retreat. In fact, we have Brian away with our confirmation class right now, having a wonderful time together and enjoying the experience of sweet fellowship with God. We've heard from our students here who've had incredible experiences on the winter retreat. We've heard from a number of our members who have gone away to serve locally at City Team or Cornerstone or far away in Belize or Egypt or Romania and what that experience has done and how they have grown from those experiences. They're beautiful. Focusing on something hard this morning. We're focusing on growth that comes from suffering. Growth that comes from suffering. So Jesus has this intimate moment with Peter. And here they are together, speaking to each other. And Jesus has just asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" 3 times Peter says, "Of course I do." It's an interesting conversation, isn't it? 3 times of asking Peter, "Do you love me?" Jesus says, looking back over the shoulder just a few days earlier when 3 times Peter denied his relationship with Jesus as Son of God and Savior of the world. And so here in this intimate picture, we have just 2 verses that we're going to peek at. In the Gospel of John, chapter 21, beginning with verse 18. Hear Jesus speaking to Peter and to each one of us. "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he, Jesus, said to Peter, "Follow me," as he's inviting each one of us with those same words. Jesus saying, "Follow me." Peter didn't want to hear those words at that point. He was feeling young and energetic and strong in every way. He was feeling revived by the resurrection and what God had done. And even more so, he was about to experience the infilling of the Holy Spirit that would empower him even more so. How hard it would be for him to hear these words. You can do it all now, but a point will come where you won't be able to do it. A point will come when there is suffering in your life. Now, I'm not being funny when I say this. I have 3 sermons this morning. I really do. I want to touch on 3 different kinds of suffering. And if any of these specifically touch you, I want you to make sure the pastors are available to you. I want you to make sure elders and deacons are available to you to deal with these. For these 3 images that I want to bring up are the damaged soul, the wounded soul, and the quiet soul. The damaged soul that has become so prevalent in the news in the last 2 weeks. Never did I think that I would be quoting Legally Blonde actress Reese Witherspoon in a very powerful way. As she was about to give an award out last week, she wrote these words, "I didn't sleep at all last night. This is going to be real emotional roller coaster for me because before we get started honoring one of my favorite people in the world, I just want to say this has been a really hard week for women in Hollywood. For women all over the world. For men in a lot of situations and a lot of industries that are forced to remember and relive a lot of ugly truths. I have my own experiences," Reese wrote, "that have come back to me very vividly, and I found it really hard to sleep, hard to think, hard to communicate. A lot of the feelings I've been having about anxiety, about being honest, The guilt for not speaking up earlier or taking action. True disgust at the director who assaulted me when I was 16 years old, and anger that I felt at the agents and producers who made me feel that my silence was a condition for my employment. And I wish I could tell you that this was an isolated incident in my career, but sadly it wasn't. I've had multiple experiences of harassment and sexual assault, and I don't often speak about them. The damaged soul. There are many damaged souls in many different ways. Through neglect, through abuse, through genetic mental health issues, suffering with a damaged soul is challenging and difficult. I'm going to quote somebody else I never thought I'd quote in a sermon. Pulp Fiction director and writer Quentin Tarantino. He wrote, "I knew enough to do more. There was more to it than just the normal rules, normal gossip, normal rumors, normal gossip. It wasn't secondhand. I knew he did a couple of these things." So in the midst of what's coming out in Hollywood that awakens feelings and emotions for a number of people, and this is not just an issue about women, this is an issue about men and women, and how we respond to each other, and how we treat each other. And recognizing the hurt that has been there in people's lives, that for somebody like Reese, that this is just coming out and bubbling over back from something that happened to her over 30 years ago. That can happen to a lot of people. So, how do we help the damaged soul? What is it we're called to do? To be the community of God. To be truthful and loving and open and honest. To be a part of the body of Christ that allows people to speak in a safe way. To be the body of Christ that speaks up when we see something that we know is not right. That TV show that's out there, I don't even remember the name. They do horrible things in horrible places and they film people's reaction. Are they going to make a difference? Does anybody know the name of that show? It's just coming to me. What would you do? Thank you. What would you do, body of Christ, for the damaged soul? The way we can help in the midst of that struggle is being that body and encouraging people towards the truth, the grace, and the presence of Jesus Christ. And being an agent of that love and being an agent of that grace. The damaged soul needs the body of Christ. The wounded soul. The wounded soul is the one who's dealing with a body that's not functioning the way a body should be or could be functioning. Out of illness, out of brokenness, out of accident. The things that have happened in people's lives and people's bodies that make it that they don't get to be what they thought they were going to be and be able to move or talk or think like they thought they were going to be able to. Johnny Erickson Tada has been an incredible example for over 40 years. As a 17-year-old girl in 1967, she took a dive into the Chesapeake Bay. And it was shallow. She shattered her neck. She's been a quadriplegic since that day. First 2 years of recovery, she went through a lot of depression and anger and struggle. But she found her way through that struggle back to understanding that God was a part of her life, that God was present. And she has been this beautiful, wonderful example for people who walk in struggle and pain physically. And so, I'm not unfamiliar with the irony of what I'm saying here as I stand before you as somebody who was able to run a triathlon mini over 2 years ago and now need this silly stick to hold my body up. So I turned to this book this week and I thought, well, I'm going to get some good, hopeful, great words from Joni Erickson Tada, and she wrote a book, A Place of Healing. And the whole beginning part of the book is about something that I found unfathomable. She hasn't been able to move anything from her neck down for over 40 years. Almost 50 years now. But for the past 10 years, she has been living with excruciating pain. Somehow, a break in her tailbone messed all the nerves up down there and woke something up enough that she is in constant, horrible pain. And so at the beginning of this book, I thought, you know, I was just going to be filled with, oh, she's still doing great. She's wonderful. And she talks about crying through the night and biting her lip and quivering until somebody actually hears her and comes along and helps move her to a better position. Well, that didn't help me at all. I was wanting the easy stuff. Because truthfully, I tell you right now, my soul has never been happier and more at peace. And it's hard to describe and hard to explain. So I thought she was going to be able to do that. And in the beginning of the book, not so much. But then she quotes another author, Henry Frost, and he wrote, Christ did die to destroy sickness, and he will yet do it, but he does not say that he will, in a perfect sense, do it now. When we think of the end of suffering from what our bodies put us through, we do want it to be immediate. We want it to be over. We want it to be strengthened. We want the cancer gone. We want the eyesight back. We want the movement back. And that's the promise of Jesus. In fact, Johnny talks about being at church one Sunday and leaving, and a young man comes up to her and says, you Johnny Erickson Tada? And there in her wheelchair in her church, she says, yes, I am. And he says, well, I've been looking for you. I wanted to pray for you and pray for healing for you. And she said, well, I'm always open to a prayer for healing. And he opens his Bible and he reads the account of the friends who take the paralyzed man and they take him to Jesus and they can't get him to Jesus. So what do? You know the story well. What do? They climb on the roof and what do? Tear it off and they drop the man down. And what does Jesus do to that paralyzed man? He heals him. Heals him. So he shares that with her with passion. Shares that with her with passion, and then looks at her and says, so I'm thinking, there must be a sin in your life that you have not confessed, that you have not dealt with. And she's heard that a number of times, one way or another. And the young man is very sincere. He wants her to be healed. He wants the miracle of her to be able to walk. And so she gently shares with him, well, I feel pretty good with God. I've confessed my sins, and I continue to confess my sins before God, as open as I can I feel honest about that. And he pushes her just a little bit further and goes, are you sure? There's got to be some kind of block here that you are not able to walk. Are you sure that there is not a sin in your life that's holding back this miracle? So she takes the young gentleman to a different place. She goes, you know, I love that story of the friends that carry the man to Jesus and can't get through and go to the roof and tear off the roof and bring him down, and Jesus heals him from his paralysis. But do you see what it says there in verse 20, what Jesus says about that healing? He tells the crowd that's there that their faith of the friends has healed you. And so she turns to this young man and says, so maybe it's your faith that needs to be a little stronger for me. And you snicker, but he didn't like that. He still said a prayer for her. She's still in a wheelchair. And she's still in horrible pain. I talked about Mark Campolo a few months ago, maybe last spring, the struggle in his life of rejecting a faith that he had clung to for so many years and pushed away from. And the reason that he says is because of what he sees in the world. If you ask people who do not believe in God, what is the most common, or what's your reason, the most common answer for not believing in God is all the suffering in the world that they see. How can there be a God with all this suffering? Now, if you ask people who are followers of Jesus, when is it that you have had the most significant growth in your faith journey and in your life? The most common answer is in the suffering. Isn't that interesting? The thing that repels so many people from being able to see the presence of God is the thing that God uses so powerfully to redefine and develop a person in the midst of suffering. There's a damaged soul. There's a wounded soul. And there's a quiet soul. What is that quiet soul? Quiet soul expressed in a lot of different ways. I've prayed for years and years and years for that. And you haven't answered God. Or journeying along as we journey in the different kinds of ways we are followers of Christ in our head, in our hearts, in our actions. And that quietness being not hearing God at all. One of the most astounding things that came out in the past 10 years was about the quietness of the soul that Mother Teresa experienced in her journey of life and faith. She had a beautiful, intimate Jesus Peter sitting on the beach talking about feeding sheep and do you love me kind of connection. Beautiful, intimate connection with God. It's through that intimate connection that she felt that call to go on. And with her strength from that small stature, she went on and she faced a lot of people to go and create the Sisters of Charity and to reach out to the poorest of the poor, the lowest of the low in the eyes of so many people. And out of that intimacy, this ministry began. But in her diaries, we read that the moment that ministry began, God became silent to her. She didn't hear God anymore. She didn't experience the feeling of sitting on the beach, looking eye to eye with Jesus. Yet her diaries also write about how she fell more and more in love with Jesus during that time. She continued to grow in her faith in a way that joy and peace just emanated from her presence in a room. In fact, she got to the place where she recognized this call that was upon her life, this quietness of God that she was experiencing in that kind of suffering because she missed that relationship so much. She was able to attune that together, that she was invited to walk with Jesus on the cross and give her life as a sacrifice so that others might see and know and experience the fullness of God's peace. So in that quietness, she grew, and in that quietness, she was empowered even more because she continued to turn to the truth of God's character revealed to her. Each one of us is called to be a soul keeper. Not somebody else's soul. Our soul. The gift that is there. It's not always easy. It's not always joyful. But oh, how beautiful to walk as a soul keeper. To know the truth of God revealed. And through that, to find growth and development that transforms us so that others would not see us, but see Jesus. So, holy and gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for being present here this day. We lift to you those here in our midst who are struggling. Struggling from the hurt of what people have done to them. Damaged souls. Struggling from illness and broken and wrecked bodies. We pray for those wounded souls. And Lord, for those who want to hear you and push their way into you and push you into them in a way that you speak to them just as they want, just as I want, just as we want. Help us to be slow enough in the midst of that quietness that we are not making and molding ourselves. But you are making and molding each one of us. And we pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.